Welcome to the Leadership U podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. We're so glad to have you with us again.
It's great to be with you, Christina.
You too.
And with those that are listening.
Our listeners too. Yes. So let's jump right in. I have something I want to discuss, as usual, for our take section. So we just finished Christmas, the holidays. It's the start of a brand new year. And something that we both found over the holidays was after you get gifts, what to do with old stuff. Cleaning out your closet, cleaning out garages, storage. We're here in Florida, so we don't have basements. It's a real problem.
It is a real problem. And being a dad, I tend to get a lot of clothes from my kids as gifts. So shirts and sweaters and all kinds of neat stuff.
But no ties.
No ties.
Or and, socks this
or
year.
Or socks or handkerchiefs. That's for my breast pocket on my suit. But at this point, they were wonderful gifts, but it also, it's an opportunity for a recalibration. So, which means looking back into the closet, taking everything out and putting the new items in, but then also realizing that the older items that I haven't worn in a year or quite a while, it's time to donate those. And that's what we do as a family.
Yeah.
We donate a lot of our clothes multiple times a year as we clean out the closets to organizations, nonprofits, and then they can take those and either give them to families and people that need them or resell them to raise funds for their organizations. So
Right. It's
time to out with the old and in with the new.
And I feel like, too, we should share the story. Do you remember what happened last year? So last year, Baba always, I caught him wearing the same couple of black socks. Like, we would do laundry, and there was always the same black socks, and they were starting to get worn down, and you could tell they were used. And so I told my sister, Mia, I was like, hey, let's get Baba new socks. He keeps wearing the same old socks. So we're like, great. We went to the store. We found a really good deal. We got him, I think it was two bags of...
It was two dozen.
Two dozen socks, yeah. Black socks.
Black socks.
So... he opens them last Christmas. He's, you know, such a good dad. Oh, thanks, girls. Just what I wanted, you know, making us feel good. And so we were helping last Christmas for putting his stuff away. And so I go to open his sock drawer. And to my shock and horror, there is already a drawer full of black socks. And you had just been rewearing the same, too. Is that a guy thing?
It's a guy thing. I mean, you know, they get washed, you get them, and they're top of the heap. They don't get the stock rotated, and you just keep wearing the same socks over and over. Eventually, they do wear out, and then you move on.
To get new ones. But now you have more than two dozen black socks.
I have a lot of, I'm going to wear out a lot of socks.
All the black socks.
Yeah, I'm going to do a lot of socks.
But anyways, getting to our topic for this week, we're talking about recalibrating.
Yeah.
So recalibrating your life as a leader, restarting the new year fresh, just like getting rid of old things that you don't use anymore. We can do the same with our lives as leaders.
Yeah. It's a good time to start thinking about this. What is something in your life or a couple of things in your life that you can change, small changes, to make you better? Or to make things better for you.
Right.
Is it maybe exercising a little more for taking care of physically? Maybe it's reading more books.
Yeah.
To grow as a leader, more leadership books, develop more as a leader. Is there changing some habits that you shouldn't be doing, cutting back on those things? They use a term called cold turkey sometimes, which is abruptly stopping something. And it's very difficult to do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier to make a subtle change. For instance, if you drink a lot of soda or a lot of coffee and you want to cut back, it may be difficult just to stop abruptly.
Oh, right.
But to start taking a little bit less or drinking a little less daily or weekly over the course of several weeks by... as the time passes, you're cutting back to virtually very little or no coffee or soda.
Right.
And the same thing with making changes in your life. I was thinking about this as the year ends. I always look back and look at how did things go for us this year. Was I a good steward of the finances that we have?
Yeah.
Was I a good steward of the time that we have? You know, you can't replenish the time. Was I a good steward of the resources, the relationships, the people that I have in my life? And then you take a look at those and then you say, okay, moving forward, are there areas that I need to do better at? Do I need to be a little better steward of finances? Spend less, save more. Do I need to do a little better in the relationships that I have? Be a little bit more proactive, intentional in relationships with people.
Yeah.
Be more engaging with people. Be a better listener. The list goes on and on. So for me, this is a great season to recalibrate. And I here's the way I look at it. There's 365 days in a year. There's 52 weeks. There's 12 months. You can take a look at this and say, okay, what are the milestones that I'm going to use?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to recalibrate, if I want to be a better steward of my finances, then you look at the big picture and you say, okay, what do I do on a monthly basis to be a little better steward?
Yeah.
Then what do I do on a weekly basis? That kind of refines it and brings it even a little bit more focused.
Mm-hmm.
And then what can I do on a daily basis?
Right.
So you want to save, say, $30 a month. Then you look back and you say, okay, I have 30 days a month.
Each month,
so how can I save $1 a day? And then you start moving in a direction where you try to save $1 a day. You can do it with a hard milestone or a soft milestone. I like using soft milestones, which means if I don't make the goal that day, I'll just roll it over to the next day.
Gotcha.
And then if I don't make the goal the next day, I don't keep piling it up to where one day I have to save $5. I just say, okay, a little grace. I'm just going to start again the next day. But you do set up these milestones, and over the course of days and weeks and months, you'll start noticing major changes. So maybe at the end of 3 or 4 months, where if you were really technical, you would need to have $90 or $120 saved. You might actually only have $50 or $60 saved, but that's better than where you were before.
Exactly. And I think that's important too. You mentioned showing yourself grace. Whenever we're setting goals for ourselves, especially at the beginning of a new year, we tend to overextend ourselves, right? So recently, the University of Scranton in Pennsylvania did a study, and I think they found it was like 93% of New Year's goals fail within the first week of setting them. So that means by January 8th, most people have already failed at their goals. And really what's happened is people haven't failed at their goals. They've stopped trying. They've given up. They feel like they can't accomplish it because it's too hard, or maybe they made it too big for themselves. So really, like what you've been saying is setting bite-sized steps, baby steps, little things towards your end goal to get there, and not overwhelming yourself with these huge, huge projects. And then again, showing yourself grace is, hey, I didn't do it today, but tomorrow's a new day. I'm going to reset and I'm going to refocus on this goal. For me, a few years ago, I think it was 2019, I made a goal that I wanted to read more. And I thought to myself, you know, reading more is a great goal, but what does that mean exactly? And a lot of research has shown that if you set a specific goal, you're more likely to succeed than just setting a vague goal, which would be save more money is vague, or lose weight is vague, or read more is vague. You want to do something specific. So I want to save, like you said, $30 a month. That's a specific goal. Or I want to lose a pound a week. That's a specific goal. Or I want to, for me, my goal was to read 100 books in a year. And then when I was getting ready to set the goal, I said, okay, I know that that's my goal. It's very specific. I want to read 100 books. But I also knew that I had to set rules for myself so that I could accomplish it. So the rules I set for myself actually were to show myself grace. So I thought, this goal is for me, so I don't care what anyone else thinks of it. I don't need to talk to anybody else about it unless I want to. And one of the rules for me was that I could read any type of book. So whether it was a kid's book, if it was like a comic book, whatever I found interesting, whatever I wanted to count as a book, I counted. And so that really helped me in my process because I was enjoying what I was doing and I didn't set hard goals for myself based on what other people's perception would be of the goal. So I remember I did share that goal with a few friends. I just said casually, hey, I'm trying to read more and this is what I'm doing. And I know one of my friends came back at me and was like, well, kids' books don't count because they're only 100 pages or 50 pages or whatever. And so I remember telling her, well, for me, they are counting. So I think if you set that in goal, just bite-sized things, set yourself up with rules that will support your goal. And then honestly, it's really helpful to have somebody to share that goal with. So having an advocate on your side, somebody you can help keep you accountable. But it's also important to protect that goal. So like I said, I had told a few friends, but one of my friends was not on board with what I was doing. And it could be difficult if you're trying to achieve a dream or something very special to you. If you share it with the wrong people, can actually hinder you in achieving that goal because everybody has opinions. And you'll find as you're sharing your goals, everyone will have a very specific opinion of your goal. And so I think it's important when you're setting goals or recalibrating to have maybe one or two people that you trust that you can share your goals with that will keep you accountable and will be excited for you and celebrate your progress with you and encourage you if maybe you're falling short, but then also to be very protective of those goals and not to over-communicate or overshare so that you don't set yourself up for failure.
That's actually very, very good insight, Christina. Part of that, what you mentioned, which I love, is the part about giving grace to yourself.
Yeah.
So I have set a goal the last few years to read. I read summaries of books.
Yeah.
So usually what I'll do is there's several companies online where you can sign up and you get a several page summary of a current book. I like to read leadership and business books. So I set the goal to read one summary a week. And then once a month, out of those summaries, take one of the books that I really liked and actually purchase the book and read the book.
That's awesome.
So goal the last couple of years has been to read 50 summaries a year and then read 12 hard copy or Kindle books. Well, I never make that goal.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Right.
There's other stuff happens in life.
Right.
But I look back and last year I read 35 of the summaries.
Awesome.
And I actually wound up reading 14 of the books.
Wow.
So I exceeded my book reading. But I read less on my milestone for the summaries.
Right.
But along the way, there's the rabbit trails that you do.
Right.
And the goal is you read something by an author and you love it. And then you go check out their blog and their podcasts and you start listening and reading other stuff. So the reality is just reading, setting some goals to do some intentional reading, diversifying your knowledge base, but focusing in on leadership, personal growth, reading. When you come across a subject or topic you like, dig down. If you bought the book, read the book. If he's got more books, the authors, read more books. Go look at their websites. Do more studies on that topic. And before you know it, you're reading not only just a few pages, but you're technically, you could be reading hundreds of pages and increasing your growth. You're growing your knowledge. And so I love to challenge people. Don't sit there checking things off on the box or the list because the list will never be complete.
Yeah.
There'll always be more things to add. There will always be things that are not correct. And then you're going to get all worked up and maybe even get anxious and over-concerned about completing your tasks.
Right.
You're better off just saying, here's the milestones, just these little markers along the journey. I'm going to try to set up and I'm going to read this many books this year. I'm going to listen to this many podcasts. And then give yourself leeway to take little sidetracks.
Yeah.
So if you come across a great subject, you can say, I love this, and I'm going to do a little rabbit trail and check it out. So this is more of a personal story, but for the last 20 plus years, I've been reading through the Bible every year. I read the Bible from beginning Genesis to Revelation. I read it with different versions, and then I just enjoy it. I take my time, I read it. Sometimes I get done before the year's out. Sometimes I might go a little beyond the year, but I always read through it. A few years ago, I did a sidetrack. What wound up happening was I wound up going into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, and the and Acts, and reading about all the miracles that Jesus did and happened around Jesus. So what wound up happening was, that year, I wound up reading the Gospels basically every month. So for 12 months, I read the same 12, the same books over and over. And just peeling away layer after layer and just learning more. And my faith increased. And I saw how people from the Bible, great men and women with strong character and faith, were doing things and responding to the morality decline and the culture and how they responded biblically and increased my faith. But it also helped me move and grow. I wanted to move forward, but I also wanted to grow and I wanted to respond properly to the culture.
Right.
So if you go back and you say, hey, wait a minute, you didn't check all those books off that year. You didn't read the Bible. Well, yes, I did read it, but I just had the grace given to me that I could deviate a little bit and just change the pace and study the Bible a little differently.
That's so, good.
I just want to encourage you, no matter where you're at, no matter what you believe, what you study, what you read, I want to encourage you. You want to grow as a leader? Start looking at leadership books. Start reading things that are on personal growth, leadership development. Listen, you may not click with all the books. Some of them may be very boring to you. Some of the podcasts you may not agree with, but it's okay. Just go through it, allow it to feed you and help you grow. And then as you grow and develop, you're going to start seeing that certain passions will flare up and ignite in you.
Right.
And you'll start wanting to read more things and find out more things in specific areas of growth. And so that will actually help you grow more as a person and as a leader.
Right. And then also, just to quickly touch base on what you said at the very beginning, Baba, were you talking about being a good steward of finances and being a good steward of your leadership growing by reading books? You know, that's typically what we think of when we think of recalibrating for the new year or New Year's resolutions. We think more of like task-based goals. So like losing weight, reading more, growing individually, very internal goals that help us as individuals become what we believe to be better. But something that you mentioned was more of a soft skill goal, which is being a good steward of your relationships and valuing people better. And so leadership, truly at the heart of it, it's all about your followers and your circle of influence and how you can best communicate and take care of those in your under your influence. And so as you're developing more in your leadership specifically, reading books will help you get better at that. Listening to podcasts, growing, increasing your knowledge, of course, will be will help you increase. But I also want to encourage you to increase your relational skills too. And that comes through practice. That comes through being very intentional with how you interact with your followers and the people that you have relationships with. Not necessarily only your followers, but also your friends, your family. You know, those people are the people that have been entrusted to your care that you are responsible for and that you love and cherish. So it's important to value them to that level. And so some of the things that we would suggest to just in developing stronger relationships with people is maybe to listen more, maybe practice checking in on people. You know, we get so busy checking off our own individual tasks and trying to better ourselves that we don't always check in on how our friends are doing with their tasks or goals. You know, how they're doing just in their lives. Are they growing? Are they okay? Are they healthy mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically? Are they doing well? And so there's some really easy ways to do that. Like technology has made it so easy. Now we can, even a simple thing as a text, we can text our buddy, hey, how you doing? Just checking in on you. Want to make sure you're okay, you know? And if you're bad, like I am at reaching out to people or initiating conversations, a good way to do it is to set up reminders on your calendar. I have some reminders set to just check in on certain friends, to check in on family members, to give a call, and it just triggers a quick reminder. Hey, you have this on your schedule today, and I work it into my daily calendar too to help me to remember when people have even like a big event, somebody's getting a procedure done or a surgery or has some big life event. Hey, your son graduated today. Just to check in reminders, I try to set calendar reminders on my phone so that I can remember to connect with people. So if you're not skilled at it, there are ways that you can get better at building those relationships and being a good steward of your relationships as well.
That's been very good, Christina. Maybe we should do a talk at one point on just specifically that, on increasing the quality of your relationship.
Oh, I like it. I'm making a note. You guys will see this in a future episode. But yeah, so hopefully this has been helpful for you guys. We love talking goals and everything. We've been talking books too, and we recently published our own book, Volunteer You 101. It's available on our website, volunteeryou.org. You can check it out. It was written specifically for leaders and managers of volunteer teams in the nonprofit sector or in governmental sector or with organizations that use volunteers, but really it's good for any leader that works in a team setting. So we talk about identifying key people to fill your team, how to recruit them, how to encourage them, keep them resourced. It's, if I do say so myself, a very good book. It's a good read. So if you're trying to up those book reads for the new year, you can start off with that one. It'll be a good fit for you. Shameless plug.
That was a shameless plug, but a great plug. Actually, it's a textbook, college level textbook that I would encourage anyone that manages or works with volunteers to purchase. You don't have to buy it and then buy additional copies for other people. Basically, you will have everything you need to know to manage and your volunteers. And there's great resources as well. Follow-up resources that are tied into all the chapters in the book on the volunteeryou.org website. So we encourage you to check it out. Thank you for being part of the podcast. We look forward to you listening to a future podcast with us.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership You podcast. For more resources for leaders, visit our website at volunteeryou.org.